I want to ask in a second, Andy, if you could present an older patient from your practice, but just come back to you, John, and then maybe the rest of you. Any situations, particularly older comorbidities, situation where you'd want to try to use bevacizumab earlier, like upfront?
Yeah, so we're participating in a clinical trial that is looking at brentuximab vedotin as monotherapy for the older, frail patient population with Hodgkin lymphoma. This is a pilot study. It does allow radiation, so if a patient has early stage disease, you can give radiation. And it's really asking the question, in a group of patients where we know that ABVD is poorly tolerated and the outcomes are very poor, can those patients benefit from monotherapy with this antibody drug conjugate? So we were comfortable participating in that study, anticipating that for the uncommon patient who presents over the age of 70 with Hodgkin lymphoma, we would offer them participation in the trial. Outside of a clinical trial, I would not be comfortable doing that right now, but I think that in the older, frail patient population, I'd have a low threshold of doing sort of what Mike did in his patient, where if they weren't tolerating treatment well, quickly moving to brentuximab as second-line treatment.
So, Chris, again, any situations where you might consider it up front? And in general, where are you using this agent? Do you use it as a bridge to transplant?
Yeah, it really would not be a situation where I'd consider using it up front outside of a clinical trial. I think the trial that Jonathan mentioned is perfectly appropriate for older patients, and that would be the kind of trial that I refer older patients to, where you would worry about the toxicities of chemotherapy in the upfront setting. We've predominantly used this in patients who have relapsed after autologous stem cell transplant. We have a handful of patients that I'd say that are prior to autologous stem cell transplant who've received bevacizumab in the community and now being referred to transplant after having received a response to bevacizumab. But the majority of the patients that we use it in are following an autologous stem cell transplant. And it's almost always used for younger patients with the discussion of it being a bridge to allogeneic transplantation and what the role of that might be for an individual patient. I think one of the things that is another challenge with allogeneic transplant that's been alluded to in part, and we've said some discouraging words about allogeneic transplant, but the major challenge there is what we're asking an allotransplant or anything to do in this situation. These are usually patients in their mid to late 30s where you're asking any therapy to produce somebody and maintain them in remission for 30 or 40 more years. And I think expecting that out of allotransplant or any other therapy is a very challenging situation to face.
Julie?
So in the upfront setting, outside of a clinical trial, would not use it, wouldn't be able to be paid for. But certainly if a patient shows us early on that they can't tolerate the therapy, then it's by second nature, it's already a second line. So I think that's fine. And definitely we use it for a bridge to transplant, yes.
Mike?
Agreed.
I think the question is maybe more second line than first line right now. I don't know how anyone feels about that. I haven't adopted that, in other words, versus as a bridge to auto, so to speak, versus the typical ICE or ESHAP that would use to gain remission on the road towards an auto transplant. Has anyone jumped on that ship yet?
There's a new trial that's just opened up that's a little bit different. It's a combination of bevacizumab and bendamustine as a bridge to auto transplant. And then the patients get bevacizumab after the transplant for consolidation. This is for high-risk Hodgkin's patients.
Yeah, and so there's two other studies. Memorial has a study of sequential brentuximab vedotin followed by ICE, whereas City of Hope is doing a single-agent brentuximab vedotin. I don't know if he presented that at Lugano or not, Richard Chen. But, yeah, off of a trial, I wouldn't, even in second line, much less first line right now, until there's more data, more mature data. And we've already shown and discussed several examples where you have to be cautious of automatically moving these drugs to frontline therapy. You have to be cautious with toxicity.
And I think it's very challenging to know how and when to stop therapy and how to collect stem cells after bevacizumab and how much of a gap is a safe gap to give in between the autologous transplant.